Hello there, and welcome to today's episode of the Easy EdTech Podcast. If we haven't met before, my name is Monica Burns. I'm a former New York City public school teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a few years, leading professional development for teachers and writing about all things EdTech on my blog, classtechtips.com. A quick reminder, head to my website, classtechtips.com/podcast for all of the show notes and resources from today's episode. And if you're listening to this episode on a podcast player like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or Google Podcasts, you should see a link in the description that you can click on as you're listening today with the show notes and all of the resources mentioned in this episode. When you go to the podcast page on my website, classtechtips.com, don't forget to check out the free stuff section full of graphic organizers, ebooks, and more goodies you can download instantly. This episode is sponsored by EdTech Essentials, the top 10 technology strategies for all learning environments, my newest book from ASCD. Readers will find timely and accessible lesson ideas and strategies. EdTech Essentials shares ways to prepare students to be productive, responsible users of technology, both within and outside the classroom. Find EdTech Essentials on Amazon or head over to classtechtips.com to learn more and download the free study guide. A quick note about Amazon, if you search for me, Monica Burns, on Amazon, you'll see some spicy books from an author with the same name as me. So if you head to my website, you'll find more information about the book and a direct link to find EdTech Essentials on Amazon. This week's episode is titled Your Beginner Guide to Sketching Your Thinking. Here's where to start with Manuel Herrera. Now, today's episode is so much fun. There is a lot of actionable information that you will hear as we dive into this idea of sketching your thinking and sketchnoting. If you are teaching math, science, social studies, English language arts, foreign language, or helping and supporting educators in any subject area, well, this episode is for you. We are going to unpack this term of sketchnoting, talk about ways to start sketching your thinking with students, and you'll hear lots of suggestions, lots of connections to what's already happening with activities in classrooms, and even some ways that this connects to careers, even outside of the drawing or art field. So this is really a fun conversation that packs a punch in terms of giving you some ideas to run with. Let's dive in to today's episode. Welcome to the podcast. I am so excited to have you join in today to talk about all things sketchnoting, sketching your thinking, and all of the above. And before we jump in, would love for you to start off by just sharing a bit about your role in education. What does your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, sure. You know, this is my 19th year in education, so I've kind of done a little bit of everything and, you know, started off teaching. And where I've landed now is I'm the coordinator of learning services in my current school district. So that is a fancy title to say that I work with students in the classroom, work with teachers in the classroom, you know, either modeling or co-teaching. And then I also do some data and assessments as well as community outreach. So reaching out to the community, trying to find partnerships or build partnerships. So yeah, that's kind of the short end of what I do in my day job, but then I'm also an illustrator. So I do that as well. And I do some speaking and consulting. So a little bit of everything. So I juggle a lot, but it's great because I kind of have my foot in different places and kind of get to experience different situations and classrooms and school districts kind of across the country. So yeah, that's kind of the short of what I do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And just sounds like the best of both worlds with the time in the classroom, time in the school district, and then getting a chance to go out and share, which I know is something I love to do. And I've seen you present a number of times at different events and conferences and all of those things. So, you know, today we're talking about this idea of sketchnoting and sketching your thinking. So what exactly do these terms mean? I see them all over, right? People are posting and sharing, and, you know, I've spoken in places, and I'm sure you have too, where, you know, sketch noting takes place during the keynote, right? As the speaker is talking, but it's so much more than those couple posts we see on Twitter. So what exactly is this?
So yeah, it's a pretty big topic. And yeah, most times when I share with people that I'm going to be working with them on drawing or using drawing in the classroom, sketchnoting is usually kind of one of the things that comes up. And kind of what I've done over the past, throughout my teaching career, and as well as a student or as a learner myself, is I've kind of broken drawing up into roughly like three areas in what I've used it with. And so note-taking is one of them. So using drawing to capture ideas, things that I'm hearing, listening, consuming in some way, whether it's a lecture, a podcast, you know, or just a book or something I'm reading, mm-hmm. you're capturing that in some way using text as well as drawing or some kind of visual. So you're combining traditional note-taking with simple drawings. And I can get into that a little bit later. But yeah, so that's kind of what sketchnoting is, kind of in a short sense or in a nutshell. The other side of that is using drawing for problem solving. So also taking ideas or taking, you know, situations or things that you're aware of in a situation that you're trying to solve a problem for. And I mean, putting them on a surface in some way, paper, a wall, you know, anything you can write on, just to kind of organize ideas and organize thinking, especially when you're in a group. So I know we do it a lot in our department at my work. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to organize different pieces that are at play and using, whether it's mind maps or using some kind of journey map. But that's another piece of drawing. And then the last piece that I use drawing with is design. You know, we ask kids to design all kinds of things in schools. We ask kids to design mm-hmm. posters, presentations, videos. So helping kids think through that work in the background first before we grab a digital tool and start to use it. So that's kind of what drawing is. And it's kind of nice. And I think it helps people understand that, okay, no, it's not art. It's not, yeah. you know, something that's going to a totally different subject. So yeah, that's really kind of the nutshell of what I do and how I present drawing to educators and to students.
Nice. And, you know, even when you said drawing, you know, it made me think that I sometimes will joke with people when I'm doing, you know, modeling something, showing off Seesaw or whatever it is, you know, how I taught elementary school for a number of years and I can draw like three things in front of other people, right? Like I can draw a pumpkin, a palm tree, and a shark is like what I can do on the fly, right? So I know I have some of those in my back pocket, but this idea of drawing to capture your thinking, to represent ideas, something that might be personal that you don't ever even share or something that you share really widely is just really captivating when you think about the cross-curricular connection. So, you know, I'm excited to jump into this idea today and talk about some ways for listeners to get started for, you know, whether or not they've spent some time in here before, but, you know, how did you first get started with this idea of sketchnoting and drawing and sketching your thinking?
You know, it was something I did as a kid. It was just as a student myself. And you know, I can think back to, especially middle school, because that's kind of mm-hmm. when note-taking kind of started for me. And, you know, I would kind of copy the notes as teachers wrote them because, you know, when we were kids, we didn't have projectors and overheads and, you know, smart boards. I was on a chalkboard writing. So I would just take notes traditionally. And for me, it was just mostly about trying to keep up with what the teacher was drawing. Writing. And mm-hmm. what I would do is I would make a mental image of what the teacher was talking about and draw a picture of it as best I could. And the part of it was like speed. I had to do it quickly mm-hmm. and trying to keep up with the teacher. And eventually I got better at it. And it's funny, you talked about kind of the palm tree or what you can draw yeah. really quickly, because with that, doing that as a kid, you learn to draw, or you started to draw things over and over again. There's mm-hmm. some common threads or common ideas that kind of go across all subject matter. So you build this like visual library in your head so that when I need a palm tree, I can draw a palm tree. When mm-hmm. I need a cow, I draw a cow. I need a person, I can draw a person. You eventually kind of build that, and that's part of it. And so that's where it started. It started with that as a student myself. And it was difficult because, you know, teachers didn't like it. Teachers didn't understand it. Teachers were like, you're going to go to college or you're going to go to high mm-hmm. school. And you need to know how to take notes the right way. And you know, joke's on you.
right.
But it carried all the way through high school. Like, so I did it in high school, again, got in mm-hmm. trouble. You know, we were mm-hmm. supposed to take, you know, Roman numeral notes and we had to know how to number them. And then in college, I did it in college and my friends made fun of me because I did it on my own. And they're like, what are you doing? And I'm like, it makes sense to me this way. And these weren't elaborate drawings by any means. So simple, just concepts and trying to capture big picture things. And then I fill in the details later. That's kind of where it started for me. And this was before it really had a term. I didn't know what it was. I just knew it was drawing. I was just a kid who loved to draw. So it was something that I kind of did naturally. And visualizing things in my head really helped me to come up with how can I represent this? And, you know, it would sometimes it'd be metaphorical. Sometimes, it'd be very concrete. So that's, I did it as a kid. And then as I got into education, I started to do it in education. I started off teaching special ed and math, eighth grade math. And I taught kids who struggled with learning. And so what I would do is I would take the teacher's notes that we would be presented in class and I would kind of convert them into these drawings because as a special ed teacher in middle school, I followed kids class to class. And I basically was kind of learning eighth grade content all over again. You know, just that was the last time I'd heard it. So I would recreate these notes to help myself, but then I would present it back to the students that way. Mm-hmm. And they seemed to grasp onto it a little better using these kind of, you know, whether it was a concrete image or something very, you know, abstract or metaphorical, they really latched onto it. So I kept doing it and it was great. And I got in trouble. Teachers got mad at me and said, hey, these kids need to know how to take Cornell notes. They know how to take, you know, again, Roman numeral notes. So this argument discussion back and forth happened. So, you know, kind of put the pencils back in the box and, you know, try to teach the way they asked me to teach until, you know, I was a little more of a veteran teacher where, you know, you learn to like push back a little bit. And it kind of came up again once I got into ed tech. So I got into ed tech world and I would be the guy down the hallway with all the tech tools, right? You know, I had the cameras, I had the GoPros, I had the 3D printers, a laser cutters, and I even had, you know, laptops at the time. So teachers would send kids to me to, you know, check this stuff out, to check it out, to use it, or get help with using some of the digital products or digital tools. And what I found was, you know, kids really didn't know what it is they were trying to create or what they wanted to design or what they wanted to make. And so I would kind of bring out, you know, the markers again and say, okay, let's kind of plan this out a little bit. So that's when I realized, okay, it's not just for note-taking. Now I'm using it for kids to design and problem solve. And so that's really where kind of this started again for me. And I really like latched onto it. I said, you know what, I got to do something with this. So I started to build some strategies and do some research around using drawing in that sense. So kids would come down and I need to make a video. Well, you know, let's talk about storyboarding. Yeah. Have you ever storyboarded? Well, I need to design a graphic. Well, let's sketch it out. What's it going to look like first? Or, you know, I have to make a presentation. Well, great. What is that presentation? Let's get some sticky notes out and let's get some index cards and let's kind of plan out this presentation. So not only was I just using pencil and paper, you know, I was also using sticky notes and sheets of paper and index cards, which I love to use with kids. But it just became this more complex animal. And I kind of just started to share about it. And teachers kind of like, wow, this is great. We should do more of this. So that's really kind of where all this started. That's, you know, it's kind of been a, you know, a back and forth of this is not the way you learn to like, yes, this is valuable to no, don't do this to no, look, here's another way you can use it. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of the way this has evolved for me.
Yeah. I love that evolution, right? And you can really see just all the different ways that this can scale in different classroom environments too. And it's so funny when you mentioned the Roman numeral notes, I had this like instant flashback to an AP European class where I'm sure I love that teacher and with her best intentions would do like a notebook check, you know, every whatever day of the week to make sure everything was just right. And I do not think as lovely as she was, she would have been too supportive of an alternative form of note-taking, right? I mean, so just that evolution there to show that there's these different options. It's so interesting to hear about, you know, that pushback that continued from your student to your educator role, right? And so, you know, I want to talk about some of these activities, right? Some of the things that you mentioned already where this comes into play. But before we jump into some lesson ideas, right? Thinking about that kind of getting started bucket or category, if you will, what does someone need, right? Are there specific tools a teacher needs to bring sketchnoting to their class? Are there apps or programs or anything specific you'd recommend?
Sure. If you're just starting off, I always just recommend you don't really need anything other than a pencil or marker and something to write with. That's really kind of all you need, even if you excel at this and become an expert with your kids and using it. That's the beauty in it is I can do it anywhere in any class at any time, you know, kind of thing. So I highly recommend starting there so that you're not out purchasing anything. expensive or feeling or overwhelming yourself with something new. So butcher paper is always great, especially for little kids, because you can spread that on the wall kind of thing. But eventually you'll kind of like, if it's something that you really like, or you have access to more technology in the classroom, a tablet that you can write on is great. And it can be anything. It could be, you know, an Android tablet, or it could be an iPad tablet. Yeah. I personally use iPad. That's just what I had and I love. And I use a stylus. That's just a lot easier. So whether it's an Apple Pencil or just a stylus you can buy just for the purposes of kind of capturing ideas, you don't need anything super robust. There's several free apps out there, free drawing apps out there. You know, you could even just start with a built-in Notes that's on an iPad. And I'm sure Android has a version of Notes, because now you can draw on there a lot easier than it was before. So you can even start with that. There's a couple of other apps. Paper, it's just called Paper. It's by a company called 53. That's a free version, a free drawing app. It's kind of nice because then you have a variety of pencils and markers and brushes. There's a premium version, but the free version works just fine. I also use Adobe Fresco. There's a free version of Adobe Fresco. That's great. I like something like that. The difference in that and Paper is that you have layers. So kind of think of it as several transparencies stacked on top of each other. So you can have drawings on one layer, text on another layer. The other one, that one that I use the most, so all those are free. The one that I use the most is Procreate. Procreate is an app. It's a $10 app. You know, I only recommend that if you either have the budget or you're doing this personally and you can invest in the $10. I do 90% of my work with Procreate, and it's great because you do a variety of brushes, variety of colors, you know, layers, it's pretty robust. And for $10, it's fantastic. And it kind of trickles into, you know, some of my illustrations that I do. But yeah, I mean, you don't need a lot, which is great. You know, you don't have to change a whole lot of what you're doing. You don't have to learn anything super new. But yeah, that's where I would start. Those are the kind of things that I would start with.
Nice. And, you know, I'm so glad you made that point about the layers on the digital apps. You know, if someone's familiar with using Google Docs or having different version histories, it's almost like you can put that layer in on a Monday, right? Add something else during that next meeting. So I just think that's such a great point to talk about some of the, you know, there's some obvious things we might think about, right, with a digital space, right? But that's one that I don't know gets as much attention. So I'm so glad that you mentioned that. And, you know, I want to talk a bit about activities that teachers might already be doing in a classroom setting. I always like to start there, right? What can we kind of add into what someone's already doing in their classroom? Is there something you see teachers already doing where sketching your thinking, this idea of sketchnoting, could be used?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's great because I see this with my own children. I've got a middle schooler and an elementary schooler. A school-aged child. So I see these things come up. And so it's nice to see that I'm not asking teachers to do anything super, super new, just kind of incorporated into more of what they do. And so one of the things that always comes to mind is storyboarding. Storyboarding is, I mean, I think at this point, kind of everybody has an idea of what storyboarding is, but it can be applied to a lot. It can be applied to presentations when kids are designing presentations, rather than jump directly into Google Slides or Apple Keynote. You can plan out that presentation with, you know, drawings. And when I say drawings, let me back up a little bit. When I say drawings, I don't just mean like pictures. I also mean text that is also included in drawing. So you can kind of plan out a presentation using storyboards. You can plan out a video using storyboards. It's also a great way for narratives. Mm-hmm. I've done, you know, writing work, pre-writing with elementary age students who just have a hard time organizing their ideas, and they're in a thought from, you know, start to finish. And you can kind of capture that with storyboarding. Again, simple images. And you know, I worked with a school in Boston, and it was funny. We were teaching, or it was interesting rather, teaching them how to use or come up with pre-writing strategies. And we introduced storyboarding. And we first kind of went around in groups of the kids and we talked to them. We said, okay, we explained what storyboarding was. And then we said, okay, we're going to write a narrative. We're going to write a story about your morning. And we're going to start with, we want you to tell a story from the moment you woke up to the moment Mr. Herrera was standing in front of you. Kind of just walk us through that morning. And we sat in different groups, myself and the teacher. And, you know, the kids are like, I woke up and, you know, I got dressed and then I got on the bus or mom drove me to school. And here I am, kind of the end. And that was their story. So kids would write about that. So that's going to be their source of information that they're going to write about. It's not very vivid. It's not very detailed, but they're going to write about it. So when we get back, you know, two or three sentences from kids, we're wondering like, oh, but there's so much more detail. Well, when we taught them storyboarding, we went back and we said, okay, let's break that morning up. And now we're going to kind of draw it out. We're going to kind of sketch it out really quickly. your morning. And I still remember this one young lady who had a very simple story, drew, you know, her bedroom in one panel. And it was like, I knew what her bedspread looked like. I knew what was on her nightstand. I knew that she had, you know, what the rug on the floor looked like. And in the next panel, she had a table and it had four chairs pulled out. And then it had like her mom cooking in the corner. And then the next panel was like everybody getting their backpacks together and, you know, on chairs. And this last panel, she had the back door where they walked out of, and there's this cat on a chair. And so I asked her, tell me about all of this.
Yeah.
And she kind of went through everything. And I said, well, tell me about this cat. And she said, oh, that's my cat. And I don't remember the name. She's like, but we pet him and we tell him good morning and we'll see you later when we walk out. Of the and it was just like, where was all of this when you were telling me your narrative, telling me your story? And they're just kind of like, I don't know, and so that's a great way to capture students' ideas, thinkings, background, who they are, is using something as simple as storyboarding. Something else I use with kids is mind mapping. Mind mapping is great. Just a central idea, branching off. And so that's probably going to be very much more text heavy. You can still use imagery, but writing about themselves or writing about a scenario or writing about, a problem and all the elements that contribute to that problem. Mind mapping. That's a simple concept that we teach kids. We teach kids those at a younger age, but as kids get older, we kind of either assume that they remember that or we just don't address it. We don't use it. So those are probably the two of the quickest ways that I can see teachers using that in their work. And this holds true for, English language arts. This holds true for history. This holds true for science. So it's something that's not just related to one topic. And I know put it around storytelling, one subject, but it can be incorporated into all subjects. So that's two simple ways to get started. And so you kind of lose a little bit of the, I'm not going to draw something very beautiful. I'm not good at drawing. Well, that was the point. You're just kind of trying to get some simple ideas out and then refine those as you type or as you create a presentation or as you create a video. But it's really about organizing your ideas. Otherwise, it kind of just remains jumbled in your head. And especially when you work in groups, when kids work in groups, he has an idea, she has an idea, they have an idea. You want them all to kind of put those ideas together or at least be kind of, quote unquote, on the same page with those. So it's not something that, you're going to have to go out and learn and do, but it's brand new. It's something that's going to be very familiar to you.
Yeah. And just, as you were sharing some of those examples, right, this idea of sequencing, right, and storyboarding and mind mapping and organizing your thinking, right, this connects to standards in every subject area, right, in all grade levels. And it's just something where if someone's looking at their list of what they're hoping to accomplish during, the first few months of school or the end of the school year or whenever it is, right, these are things that are happening already, right? And you can layer in all the great pieces that you're talking about. And, you kind of alluded to it, or maybe I was making the connection as you were talking with the mind maps of some of the careers, right? Or what might happen a little bit later down the line. So are there career connections where some of these creativity skills have been used? Have you seen some of this applied to different professions, maybe in your conversations with students prepping for, college and career readiness, or even just your interactions outside of the classroom?
Sure, absolutely. So one of the things that we, we do with drawing is, one of the strategies we use with drawing is kind of around brainstorming. And that's a little bit about what, kind of storyboarding and mind mapping is, but it's just the idea of brainstorming. We tell kids that, the jobs that you're going to have or, whether they exist or don't exist are really going to rely on creative thinking or on creativity. But we don't really know what that means and how to teach that and how to capture that. I think what happens is a lot of the times we think that the creativity is the end product. It's, Is it this innovative product? Is it this beautiful product or beautiful, whatever it is at the end, visually appealing? When really creativity is kind of the thinking, the work and the ideas that are behind that creation or that solution that you come up with. So absolutely. So when it comes to brainstorming, teaching kids brainstorming strategies, that's drawing. There are ways to do that. There are, structures that you can use with kids around that. That is probably one of the biggest ways that I can see it being applied to careers. I mean, you can also put into kind of tech industry, we've worked with kids at the high school where they're designing apps or software. And so I've reached out to software developers, kind of walking through that process. What is that like? What does that look like? And it starts with either, from empathy maps, grabbing, capturing empathy, a group of people that you're designing for. So that's a piece of drawing. And then, okay, so now we're going to design this app or this software or this website. Well, there's the user experience side of that. That's captured through wireframe. So how can I design out this website ahead of time prior to, okay, now we're going to code it and now we're going to go make it on this website. You know, there's that user experience that we kind of forget about. Why does the app, why does that piece of software look and operate and function the way it does? It's because there was some intention behind it. And that's why the buttons are placed here on an app and icons look like this on an app. And all the words are spelled out on certain apps for certain groups of people. All that can be done with kind of capturing, you know, those ideas first and really kind of giving those kind of prototypes, if you will, to a user. Another, this is interesting. Another way is this is a career in general. People get hired to problem solve and brainstorm and come up with solutions through graphic recording. So there is, people will hire individuals to come in and help a team, a management team, a board of directors, whoever. Okay, let's talk about this. And they will capture that for them visually so they can all see these elements that are, you know, contributing to whatever problem or whatever idea they're trying to work around. I'm in the wrong business. You know, like I think to myself, like I want to do that. I want to and do that and capture those ideas. So as I've learned more and more about, you know, just drawing being used as a way of thinking, I've seen these come out. You know, we have a company here in St. Louis called Filament. That's what they do. They nonprofits hired them. Businesses hire them to kind of draw out ideas and thinking and just conversations and organize it for them. So there's a lot of potential in using it. So I like to see the creativity. I like to see it applied to creativity in that sense of helping kids really understand what it is they're working with, all the elements that play into this problem, and manipulating all that through drawing and having conversations and pointing and looking and adding first. And we talk about communication skills. Like that's great. That's kids are talking, kids are communicating. I mean, that's, you know, a lot of ways that it's applied. You know, we use it in our department all the time with problem solving. You know, we, you know, a couple of years ago went into kind of this COVID, you know, this pandemic. And what are we going to do? How are we going to roll this out? How are we going to, you know, have these devices out? A lot of it was drawn on a dry erase board. Okay, we're going to do this. We're going to do that. Okay, that's plan A. Now let's draw plan B. Let's draw plan C. And we could all see how this was going to play out and how this, you know, who played where, who played what role in what scenario. And, you know, it gets into project management too.
Oh, I mean, we don't help
kids too much with project management until they get older in certain classes, at least what I've seen. I think there's ways to help kids with project management with through drawing, whether you're drawing a timeline or a project out and chunking it and color coding it. You know, think about our calendars that we use. You know, our calendars are color coded. Our calendars are organized in a certain way. That's our own way of managing our projects. So I think we can also do that with kids, and it can be done with paper and pencil. You know, we don't always have to jump straight to technology and, you know, I have to learn something new now. You know, we can start with paper and pencil first. And then if we need to, we can kind of start to explore more digital tools.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and even, you know, that point just about not necessarily it being tech focused, right? That's an aspect of it. But, you know, I was working with a company, gosh, maybe 3 or 4 years ago, where I was there for some brainstorming sessions they were doing, and they hired someone who was not a full-time member of their team. And this was a big company, right? And this person had a dry erase marker in their hand, right? And the whole wall to capture what we were talking about, kind of have all the notes up there. And that's a level of higher order thinking, right? And just, right, a lot of things happening and processing that needs to happen in order to make that work. So yeah, just so many different career connections, lots of great in-classroom activities for educators who want to get started with this right away. I know I'm really excited about this topic, and I'm sure listeners want to know where they can go to learn more. So where can people connect with you? I'll put plenty of links here for listeners to click on, but where can they connect with you? Where can they learn more about your work?
I'm a super visual person, so I would say the first place would be Instagram. And I say that because I like to show a lot of the work that I do, whether it's with kids, whether it's with my own children, whether it's with school districts. Instagram would be in where you can put the link. That would be the first place, just because I am there the most. Probably the next would be Twitter. I do the same thing. I try to cross post as much as I can, but I just like Instagram because it's visual. And then you can always go to my website to reach out to me, manualdraws.com. I'm always happy to help people. You know, I have people email all the time. Hey, I'm working on this project at this unit, or I'm working on this topic. You know, I want to incorporate drawing. I saw you present. How can I do it? And and I'm always happy to help, just because it helps me better understand what people are trying to do, what teachers are trying to do. and come up with, you know, more solutions than, you know, the scenarios that I have or the scenarios that I'm in, or the situations that I'm in here in my own district. So yeah, those would be the three places probably that you could reach out to me and I can talk a little more about it. I'm hoping this summer that I'm going to try to launch a YouTube channel to nice. Kind of show a little more of like how to do those things. It's just really hard to try to have your foot in everything. So that is my goal for the summer, is to work on that. I've got some time this summer, so I plan to put some videos together so people can kind of ease into it and feel a little better about it.
Well, that is fantastic. And I will make sure to link out to all of these resources for everyone who's listening in today so you can follow along and dive more into your work. Well, thank you so much for joining today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having me.
It was so much fun talking with Manuel about this topic of sketching your thinking and sketchnoting. And I want to finish up like we always do by making this EdTech easy. First, grab pencil and paper. Next, find connections to what you're already teaching. Then try out a few digital tools. And finally, make some career connections too. Remember, you can find the show notes and the full list of resources from this episode, including all of the ways to connect with Manuel Herrera, on classtechtips.com/podcast and finding today's episode number 163. This episode is sponsored by EdTech Essentials, the top 10 technology strategies for all learning environments, my newest book from ASCD. Readers will find timely and accessible lesson ideas and strategies. EdTech Essentials shares ways to prepare students to be productive, responsible users of technology, both within and outside the classroom. Find EdTech Essentials on Amazon or head over to classtechtips.com to learn more and download the free study guide. A quick note about Amazon, if you search for me, Monica Burns, on Amazon, you'll see some spicy books from an author with the same name as me. So if you head to my website, you'll find more information about the book and a direct link to find EdTech Essentials on Amazon. If you have a moment to leave a review, I would super appreciate it. I read every single review that comes through on the different podcast platforms. I keep my eyes peeled for any questions that come in there too. So if you have a moment, please leave a star rating or type in a quick review. Not only do I appreciate it so much, but it also helps boost the podcast in search engines, meaning other educators will find it when they search for EdTech Tips.